All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
And perhaps their final visit to Vancouver, the Arizona Coyotes take a bite out of the Canucks with a 4-3 win in overtime. Home team gets a single point, but it should have been two. This is Rinkwide Vancouver. Rinkwide, a presentation of the Applewood Auto Group. And we should also tell you that we're here in the lower lobby of the Wall Center Hotel. If you're looking for meeting rooms or conference space in downtown Vancouver, consider the Wall Center, from executive and staff retreats to full-size conventions and everything in between. They've got conference and convention space to meet all your needs. It all starts with an email, sales@wallcenter.com. Jeff Patterson joined on this episode once again by Irfan Ghaffar. And Irf, Coyote ugly? Maybe that's too easy.
That one's way too easy.
Yeah. Look, they get a single point, and all points are good points as they continue to try to claw their way to the top of the Pacific Division. But make no mistake, this is an opportunity lost, along with a hockey game that was lost in overtime. And yes, the Canucks chipped away as they did against Vegas the other night. And maybe that's a valuable trait to have late in the season when you're down in hockey games and can muster the urgency necessary. But, and we'll do Rinkwide worldwide a little later. But where in the world was that urgency in the first couple of periods? Second period, down a goal, they had four shots total for the home team, the Vancouver Canucks. So yes, they get this thing to overtime, and then what a crazy overtime with a penalty shot from Phil Hronek, and he couldn't convert. And Dylan Guenther, on his 21st birthday, a happy birthday for him and his hockey club, as the Coyotes skate out of town with a 4-3 victory.
You look at the team on Monday night and the team tonight, and it was completely night and day, Jeff. I mean, that team on Monday against the Vegas Golden Knights, you and I sat here and I said that team can go toe-to-toe with anyone. That team did not show up against the Arizona Coyotes. That team was outplayed. That team was outworked for most of the game. And in the third period, yes, their skill players were better than the Arizona Coyotes skill players for one period to make the game interesting. But again, when it was all said and done, there were a lot of factors that went into the Vancouver Canucks not winning this hockey game tonight.
Well, let's sort of deconstruct this game in reverse, because Brock Besser takes a penalty in overtime, so the Coyotes get to go to work with the 4-on-3-man advantage. Canucks penalty killing was put to the test. They had to kill off a 5-on-3 for half a minute in the third period when the game was very much on the line. So this penalty kill that had been much maligned of late and had been torched, quite frankly, by a bunch of opponents, got the job done, gets it to overtime, and then the penalty killers have to go back to work. Not only do they do their job, but Phil Hronek steps up, intercepts a pass, tips it ahead, and races onto it, a breakaway in overtime, hauled down by Nick Schmaltz. And yeah, the referee, a little dramatic there, but you figured that the point was going to go to center ice, and sure enough, it did. this is a player. I mean, we don't see a lot of defensemen get penalty shots, although I say that Jake Walman scored and beat the Canucks in Detroit when he was knocked down by Quinn Hughes. So we have seen it already this year against the Vancouver Canucks. But Filip Hronek, who's done a lot of good things for this hockey club, but he doesn't score a lot of goals, hadn't scored since the Boston Bruins were in town way back when in February, just 5 goals on the season for Hronek, and he didn't look like a goal scorer.
No, absolutely not. Shot.
I think he probably had a bunch of things going through his head. Maybe one of them was he would have to face the media if he had actually put the puck in the net and won the game for the Canucks. I'm sure that was way down his list of concerns. But yeah, just some indecision, I thought, got in too deep and ultimately just kind of flung the puck at Connor Ingram, who, you know, stood his ground, made the save. But right there, I mean, the game's on a platter for the Vancouver Canucks. Yeah. They couldn't have asked for a better opportunity. It does beg that question, though. Should a team have the opportunity to, you know, wave off the penalty shot and take the power play? Because the Coyotes were on the power play, but if the Canucks had been able to kill off the remainder there, they would have then gone to work with the man advantage in overtime.
Yeah.
Can't decline the penalty shot. And unfortunately for Filip Hronek, it didn't work out the way that he had hoped.
Well, it's either that, be able to decline the penalty shot and take the power play, or be able to choose who shoots it.
Right.
And I think that if you're able to do that, maybe things change a little bit as well. But yeah, I think Filip Hronek had a little bit of difficulty. They showed him talking to all the defensemen before the penalty shot. And then obviously Elias Pettersson said something to him. JT Miller, I think, swore at him. Must have said something pretty funny to Filip Hronek that, you know, you better score. I mean, got in too deep, schooled himself a little bit, but that wasn't, you know, obviously the game on the stick there, and Filip Hronek wasn't that guy that could finish it. But for the Vancouver Canucks, I mean, it was over basically for the first two periods. You and I sat here after you came in here after 40 minutes and said, wow, this one basically seemingly was over, and until they mounted that third period comeback.
Yeah, look, when you look at the big picture of this day and the way the events unfolded, the Coyotes literally rolled up to Rogers Arena in a moving van, right? But credit to them for sticking with it and playing hockey amidst all this uncertainty. But there had to be players on that Arizona team that were fielding phone calls from their wives and girlfriends and parents and, you know, wanting to know what's going on and where are they playing and where are they living and all that kind of stuff. And against that backdrop, they went out, and it's not like the Coyotes were great. They had 2 shots in the first period.
Oh, I know.
They played last night in Seattle. They got schooled last night in Seattle, although maybe the final score didn't fully reflect the way the game played. Like, Arizona controlled the game in Seattle, but they got outscored 5-0. This was back-to-back for them with nothing to play for. Again, it begs this question of where is the urgency? We see it in spurts from the Vancouver Canucks, but, you know, it wasn't there early the other night against the Vegas Golden Knights. They summoned it, and ultimately they were able to win that hockey game. And yes, they get a single point, as we said here, and we'll update the standings and the race for the top spot in the Pacific Division coming up. But, you know, nothing doing in the first period. It really was a terrible period of hockey. But the second period, you know, kind of starts the same way. There's not a whole lot going on there. And then the Coyotes get a long distance shot from Josh Brown. It finds its way in. 1-0. Canucks, you're trailing. You know that the Oilers have pummeled the Vegas Golden Knights, so you should have felt a little bit of heat there. And for whatever reason, the Canucks just couldn't get it going in that second period. Again, they had 4 shots on goal in the second period of this hockey game. You know, they score late, and then they give it right back, and the Coyotes take a 2-1 lead to the locker room after 40 minutes of play. So the second period, not a great period for the Canucks. They had some opportunities. Nikita Zadorov off the post from Tyler Myers early on, and then Myers set up by Nils Höglander. Yeah. You know, and this is all when the game is scoreless still, and so the Canucks had an opportunity to open the scoring. They've been so good. They have scored first 36 times already this season. It's been a huge part of the blueprint of their success, but the Vancouver Canucks have given up the first goal in 3 straight and 4 of their last 5. So, again, chasing these hockey games, and whether it's the defending Stanley Cup champs the other night or a team that, you know, isn't going to the playoffs and is going to be packing boxes and moving on after the season, it's a tough league to chase the game. And so you saw it there in the third period that the Canucks were able to chip away. And guess who? It's Connor Garland is the spark plug to sort of get the comeback going. And people have been waiting for a big goal and a signature goal from Elias Pettersson. You know, his first in 10 games, his first shot of the hockey game. And I think the storyline would have been considerably different if he had finished the night with without a shot on goal and this team had lost. So he does get a shot on goal, snaps it from that right side, beats Connor Ingram, ties the game at 3 on a power play. And, you know, that's the other story here. That power play the other night looked ferocious. Like, it looked like it wouldn't be denied, Irv. This power play, the first 3 opportunities in the first 2 periods, two shots on goal.
Yeah.
Like, not enough, not close to enough. Where was the desperation? Where was the urgency? You know, that's sort of the focal point here. They're three games away. They've got three games remaining in the regular season. And then it truly go time. Playoff hockey, the first time a lot of these guys are going to step on to that stage of the Stanley Cup playoffs. You know, they better find a way to bring it from the opening faceoff, because we just haven't seen that, certainly for the last handful of games from the Vancouver Canucks.
Well, I think that that's the biggest thing, Jeff. You mentioned the urgency, and with playoff crunch time absolutely looming, I think that the one thing is Rick Tocchet's going to go to Thatcher Demko at some point in the next couple of days and say, okay, it's time. You got to get back into the lineup here. And that's one thing that'll help. You got Elias Lindholm back in the lineup. That's another thing. But it was just, for me, it's how good they played. You mentioned the building, how electric it was against the Vegas Golden Knights on Monday. And you know, some people went into this game, I expected the Canucks to go and handle their business. I expected them to win at least by a goal or two in this hockey game, for their stars to do their thing, and it to be a pretty cruising and smooth victory for Artur Seelovs. You know, obviously he might have been able to make a save or two and help his team out, but nevertheless, like, your skill players are probably outweighing their skill players a little bit. So it showed in the third period. But for me, it was, are you not getting up for the game because you know you should go and take care of business? I get it, but you just mentioned, Jeff, like, we're at the point in the season where games matter. You look at the standings, like this game against the Oilers, I understand it is big. Yes, they do have the tiebreaker. Oilers are playing 5-7 to finish the season, but you're heading to the playoffs. Like, every game for you should be exciting. You should want to go in and be playing your best hockey. I said it on Monday. That's the way they need to go. This game, they need to absolutely erase it and not ever play like that again.
Now, if you look back through that 9-game homestand last month, the Canucks didn't slip up against the weaker opponents.
Yeah.
When you look at the teams that they beat, Montreal and Calgary and Buffalo, and took care of Anaheim at the end of the homestand. But, you know, it wasn't a convincing win over the Ducks. They were in the desert just over a week ago and squeaked past this Arizona team 2-1. All three of the games against the Coyotes this year, one-goal games. The Canucks had a pair of 2-1 victories, and then Arizona turns the tables, gets a 4-3 win here. So the Canucks get 5 of 6 from the Coyotes, but again, you're just looking for this Vancouver team to, you know, sort of put the hammer down from the outset of a hockey game and a dominant, commanding performance. And that's something that we haven't seen. And that plays into the angst that I think so many are feeling about the Canucks' playoff prospects. Now, three more regular season games, and then you hit reset, and let's see where Thatcher Demko is. And Elias Lindholm came back in the lineup and certainly had some moments in this hockey game. So I'm not going to base any sort of playoff predictions off what I saw here against Arizona, but I see those same concerns that I hear from so many in social spaces. And speaking of that, we want your feedback here as we move through this night on Rinkwide Vancouver. So hit us up in our feedback channels, and we'll get to some of the feedback. You'll see some of it on the screen here as we go. And we should mention as well that Rinkwide's a presentation of the Applewood Auto Group at Applewood Infinity Langley. Right now, you can get a 2024 QX60. You can lease it at 0.99% up to 24 months, and that is on all trims. I just want to throw this out there as well. We have a stat that stands out, and we'll do that a little bit later on in the program, but this one stands out to me as well. You think of the talent disparity on the ice and in the lineups in this hockey game, but on most nights, when you think of the star power at the top of the Vancouver Canucks lineup, Canucks are now 6-7 in games decided in overtime.
Yeah.
So they have lost more than they have won in games decided in overtime. You tack on a couple of shootout losses, they're 0-2 in shootouts, 6-9. So they've left 9 bonus points, you know, at a point in time where every point is valuable to the Vancouver Canucks to try to hold off this hard-charging Edmonton Oilers team. That's 9 bonus points that they have left on the table. So not a sparkling record when it comes to games that are decided after 60 minutes.
Starting overtime with Elias Pettersson, Elias Lindholm, and Philip Ronick, Jeff, let me ask you, did you have a problem with that, or would you like to see Quinn Hughes out there?
Well, Quinn had played a ton in the third period, and I also think that's the matchup that, you know, you put those guys out, but this is where the Canucks are so much deeper than a team like Arizona that their second wave out in overtime is going to be JT Miller, it's Garland, it's Quinn Hughes.
Brock Besser.
Could have been Brock Besser. And so, no, I didn't have a problem with that necessarily. You know, the Canucks don't get the job done in overtime. Again, a penalty shot. You couldn't have asked for a better opportunity. Perhaps a better shooter, but not a better opportunity. So impossible to say that the Canucks didn't have the chances to win this hockey game. In the end, it was the Dylan Gunther show on his 21st birthday. Of course, he's always going to be tied to the Vancouver Canucks in that trade for OEL and Connor Garland. look, he's a top 10 draft pick. They knew they were getting a good one. The Canucks knew that they were trading away a high pick. And this kid is a player. He scores his 15th goal of the season. He has 3 assists. And he had that shorthanded breakaway that Artur Silovs made. And that was a big save at a point in the game where it looked like maybe the Coyotes were going to run away and hide from the Vancouver Canucks. So it's impossible to say that Silovs didn't make saves in this game. But, man, Dylan Gunther's fingerprints all over this victory. And there's going to be a lot more. I mean, yeah, just turning 21 today. So a big celebration for him. And Logan Cooley is the guy that finishes it in overtime. And he had a goal and an assist. He set up Gunther for his goal early in the third period. Uncharacteristic Quinn Hughes mistake comes at the end of a minute and 55 second shift. Hughes started the third period and didn't come off the ice until that Coyote goal that made it 3-1. And we don't see Quinn turn the puck over the way he did there, but some pressure. Maybe it was the legs, whatever the case, that was a costly turnover. And it was interesting that Quinn Hughes didn't play a lot for the next 5 or 6 minutes. The Canucks ran into some penalty problems, and so penalty killers took over. But you do wonder if that wasn't the coaching staff, you know, maybe just a subtle message to a guy that I still think is going to be the MVP. And even on a night where he turns the puck over and it winds up in the net, he still had a big night offensively. He reaches, it was milestone night the other night. It was milestone night here. 90 points and then a 91st point for Quinn Hughes. So what an incredible season with 3 games to go. But still, we're just not used to seeing him run into the kind of problems that he did there early in the third period.
21st time in his career, he's had 3 assists. So Quinn Hughes, all he does is collect points. Another thing, Jeff, you mentioned that obviously Quinn Hughes being tired and things like that. When you get into the postseason here, when games are tight like that, you know, 2-1, you're looking for a goal or, you know, you're trying to protect the lead, you're going to have a problem with Quinn Hughes playing those length of shifts. Like, I mean, you're going to have to try and get, I know he tried to get off the ice on the game on that goal there and he didn't, obviously couldn't get to the bench, but is it a sense of, I know how incredible he is and things like that, but is it a sense of for the coaching staff to be able to talk to him and say, you can't be out for that long, even though you want to and are completely capable of doing it?
Yeah, I think what he means to this hockey club, the amount that he plays, you're going to have to live with the occasional mistake. And there's just so much more good than bad with Quinn Hughes, obviously. And the mistakes, especially the loud ones, you know, Tyler Myers makes that play. People are like, yeah, there's Tyler Myers. Quinn Hughes makes that. And we're like, wow, that just never happens to Quinn Hughes. He's so sure of himself. Look, he's on this incredible run right now. I was just doing the math here. He's been in on 9 of the last 15 goals that the Vancouver Canucks have scored in the last 15 games, or last 5 games, rather. So, you know, he was a huge part of the comeback the other night against Vegas, had his hands over all over the comeback in this one as well. They got it to 3-3. They couldn't get the goal that they needed in overtime, and they lose by a score of 4-3. It was Pettersson with his 34th of the season, Garland his 19th, and JT Miller with the first Canuck goal of the night, his 36th of the season. We talked a little bit about the Miller goal coming late in that second period in the blue paint. Good work, point shot, and get that traffic, get bodies in front of Connor Ingram. The Garland goal, he just continues to hold the hot hand here, a deal for the Vancouver Canucks. He's up to 19 now against his former team. He's got 3 to go. I hope he gets to 20. He's never been a 20-goal scorer as a member of the Vancouver Canucks. He was a 20-goal scorer in Arizona early in his career. That was a good shift. Like, you know, they're down. They needed something to happen midway through that third period. Hoglander in on it. Hughes gets the second assist, but there was Connor Garland. Puck comes to him, and he makes no mistake. He roofs it past Connor Ingram.
Yeah, and the Connor Garland story has become so interesting because of how important of a player he's become for this team. Like, he's depended on. The guy's putting the puck in the net, you know, almost every other night now, and it's going to be interesting in playoff time now with Elias Lindholm back into the lineup, what they decide to do with their lines. And, you know, playing against Arizona Coyotes, I mean, a lot of people probably had that prop bet of Garland putting the puck in the back of the net. I'm just interested to see how they go and deploy their lines. Is it going to be with JT Miller? Is it going to be with a guy like Elias Lindholm? Is it going to be with Elias Pettersson? But the good thing is his trajectory is going up and he's playing well right now. And a lot of other players on this team should look at Connor Garland and say, these are the types of games and this is the effort that we need to be putting in on a nightly basis.
Let's talk about Elias Lindholm and his return to the lineup. We got a sense at practice yesterday that there was a pretty good chance that he was going to play. After the morning skate, Rick Tocchet wouldn't confirm it, but when Vasily Podkolzin and Nils Amon stayed out late with the skills coaches, that was a pretty good tell that those guys weren't going to play, and PDG and Lindholm were going to work their way back into the lineup. For Elias Lindholm, the final box score as I look at his night, 18 minutes and 30 seconds. He had three shots on goal on five attempts. A little uncharacteristic for him, and he goes 6-6 in the faceoff circle. So he holds his own, 50%. Yeah. But, you know, some of that's probably timing. And again, for a guy that's been nursing a wrist injury, maybe, you know, not digging in on the draws as much as you'd like him to. Who knows? Whatever the case. I mean, there's nothing wrong with 50%. He has set the bar higher for himself. What I noticed from him, though, in a game where there weren't a lot of scoring chances for the Vancouver Canucks through the first two periods, Lindholm was involved in a couple of them. I think of one, Quinn Hughes dashed down the left side, got it to the front of the net. Lindholm with a spin move, got a pretty good look there. There were a couple of other opportunities set up by Dakota Joshua shorthanded in the third period as well. So, you know, the result's not what he wanted as he gets back into the lineup. But, you know, I think it was a good first step. And obviously there are going to be bigger challenges. You know, plays a key role in a penalty kill, as we said, that went 5-for-5 on the night.
Well, I think that's the biggest thing, right? He gets back in and he gets inserted into, you know, a position where they want him to play, and that's the penalty kill. And, you know, he's relied upon. And the Canucks owned the Coyotes in the first two periods in the faceoff circle, and then they got killed in the in that final frame. That's why those numbers, why he was 50-50. But, I mean, good for him, obviously battling an injury of the hand-wrist area, and, you know, he was able to go and obviously hold his own. I think the biggest thing was the PK. He had a couple really good shifts. He had that shorthanded chance as well. He was able to get a shot off, and obviously Ingram was able to make the save there. But I think, again, he's another player where you look at and say, lineup blender. Like, is he a winger? Is he a center? Is he your PK guy? What's he really going to be? And I think the answer will come here in the next few games for Elias Lindholm and for Rick Tocchet, right? You get into game one, you're going to have a couple practice days, one or two before, but you want to have your lines and who's going and who's playing together probably for at least one or two games before you play, right? Your first round opponent. So again, another thing that we're going to have to look at and monitor here is who Elias Lindholm's going to line up with. Like, is he going to be with Elias Pettersson, or is he going to be their third line center and they're just going to try and make that work?
Yeah, my sense is that they like that sort of spine down the middle, yeah, and that they're going to keep him as a third line center, and we'll ultimately see what happens here. But, you know, there aren't a whole lot of saviors waiting in the wings. Like, they wanted to get him back in there, and they made the lineup decisions. And as we get to our Great Clips chat line, Roberto on Facebook said, well, why would they take Podkolzin out of the lineup? He's been playing so well. Look, Vasily Podkolzin's been fine. I don't want to oversell what he has done and brought to this hockey club. I had no issues with bringing him out for a night. If it, you know, again, the Canucks should have had enough in the bottom of their lineup, and they certainly should have enough at the top of their lineup to beat the Arizona Coyotes. They didn't. But they didn't lose because Vasily Podkolzin didn't play in this hockey game. You know, at some point, there's got to be more than just, wow, he hit some guys. Like, don't lower the bar. This is a 10th overall pick, and maybe he shouldn't have been the 10th overall pick in that draft class, whatever. If he's going to play and contribute for the Vancouver Canucks, there does have to be a bottom line. Like, I had somebody on social say, like, oh, sure, sit the guy down after that pass to Pettersson the other night. And I was like, you can't just pick one pass two games ago and think that, like, that's enough to keep your spot in the lineup. This is the NHL. They're four games away. Now they're three away from the playoffs. Like, Rick Tocchet's got to figure out. Now, did PDG do much with his opportunity? I can't sit here and say that I thought he did. So, you know, the door's open to get Podkolzin back in there. And look, if Vasily Podkolzin had to sit down against Arizona, but they want him back in there for the Oilers game on Saturday, then that probably gives you an indication that, you know, he's not in the coach's doghouse. I just think at this stage of his career where there's no bottom line, that it can't be as simple as he's a lock, he's got to be in there night in, night out for the Vancouver Canucks.
Well, I think if you're not producing, right? I mean, he goes out and hits everything, and the games have been good. He hasn't looked, you know, bad in his game. But I think when you're bringing Elias Lindholm in, you know, it's at some point it's a numbers game. You know, PDG, I agree with you, Jeff. Like, I can't sit here and look at my notes and say that, you know, I really had his name written down to do too much. Now, could Podkolzin's two hits may have been the difference in a hockey game? Probably not. You know, with the way that things are going, you know, your bench is going to be shortened. At that point, you're trying winning a hockey game. Your third and fourth lines aren't playing too much. You're loading up your top guys. So at that point, Elias Lindholm's obviously going to get elevated into the lineup if you're Rick Tocchet. And yeah, I don't think that, you know, we should be too worried about, you know, Vasily Podkolzin coming out. He might get another opportunity here soon. I'm sure he will. But, you know, someone from our YouTube channel here says you can't play one period and expect to win, especially without Demko, which leads me to my next question to you, Jeff. Thatcher Demko. It's got to be all signs go now.
Yeah, I watched him at practice yesterday. I watched him at the morning skate. And again, practice and morning skate are not game action. It's not going up against the Edmonton Oilers with or without Connor McDavid. but that's the next opponent for the Vancouver Canucks. Now, watching Demko, Ian Clark putting him through his paces, you know, to watch him, they were working him hard. And there certainly were no issues with his lateral movement. I guess it's a question of getting to a point where he is so clear and free in his mind. And you have to be, as a goaltender, to trust that the knee is fully healed, that there's no issues there, the amount of pushing off that you have to do to play the position. And I think that, you know, they've ramped him back up here slowly. He was on the road trip, out on the ice with the coaches, then not practice. And so, you know, we'll see what happens here. I think the Canucks have two more practices. I don't think they're getting a day off between now and Saturday. So if he's going to play Saturday, you'd expect that he's a full participant now in practice, you know, facing all the battle drills, traffic in front of the net, all those types of things that you're going to see trying to replicate game action, because he has not played since March the 9th, that game that he left against the Winnipeg Jets. So if he's good to go, and they still have designs on finishing first, obviously now a lot of that hinges on what happens in Edmonton on Saturday. The Oilers play this Arizona team on Friday. So the Canucks are getting the Oilers on back-to-back and 3-4, all of them at home. So there's no travel there, but this compressed schedule, you know, and we've seen this. Like, we saw what the Oilers did to Anaheim the day before Anaheim came here. Like, they absolutely throttled the Ducks. Something tells me that, you know, the Oilers aren't going to miss an opportunity here. And so,
even without Connor McDavid.
Yeah, but a pretty good chance that by the time the Canucks roll into Edmonton for the back half of the Hockey Night game on Saturday night, that Edmonton is truly going to be breathing down their neck just 2 points back. The updated standings, Canucks with the single point, 105 points on the season now with 3 games to go. Oilers win. They're up to 101, so they pass the century mark. They're 4 behind the Canucks for the time being, but they have 2 games in hand. They'll spend one of them on Friday. And then they finish up with 3-4. They've got 2 left against Arizona. In fact, given this news of the day about the Coyotes packing up and moving, the final game at Mullet, quite possibly, is going to be against the Edmonton Oilers. Can the Coyotes rise up and sort of make some sort of statement in front of their 4,600 fans there on the campus of ASU? We'll find out. And then Edmonton finishes in Colorado. But, you know, who knows what that game will mean to either of those teams, the kind of line. Like, that final night of the regular season, the Canucks are in Winnipeg. But if the game doesn't mean anything, you know, do the Canucks send players? Do they leave them behind? You know, who knows what Colorado does on the final night of the regular season? So it's really tough to sort of project out just how tough that game is going to be. It is at altitude, and it is back-to-back and 3-4. So those are all challenges that exist for this Edmonton Hockey Club. But Oilers are getting closer here, and this Pacific isn't locked down by any stretch. But the Canucks can take a huge stick. Canucks' magic number now is 3. Any combination of 3 Canuck wins or Oiler losses, the Canucks hold the tiebreaker. So even though Edmonton is 4 behind, really they're 5 behind. They've got to finish in front of the Vancouver Canucks. So Saturday is going to be huge in terms of finishing first in that Pacific Division. We appreciate the feedback, and we'll continue to incorporate your comments as we work our way here through this episode of Rinkwide Vancouver. But keep all of those comments coming on all of our social channels to the Great Clips chat line. It's a presentation at Great Clips, more than 4,400 hair salons throughout the United States and Canada. Great Clips, the world's largest hair salon brand, an official hair salon of the NHL. Salons are locally owned and operated, open 7 days a week. Your time is valuable. Use the Great Clips check-in app. See the wait time, check in on your phone, and get your hair cut when you want to. For more information, check out greatclips.com. Great Clips, it's going to be great. The Vancouver Canucks were not great. Just before we move into the second segment of the program, and we'll get to our Rinkwide Vancouver 3-star selection. We'll have the stat that stands out. We'll incorporate a little more feedback. We'll get to Rinkwide Worldwide as well. And my goodness, the submissions we got there after one call for just letting us know where in the world you're checking this out and following the Canucks and watching the Rinkwide stream. We got a ton of submissions, so we'll check in on a few as we move here through the program. But look, we talk about Thatcher Demko. What about Artur Sylovs? Coyotes held to just 18 shots on goal. The Josh Brown one, the first goal, the 1-0 goal in a scoreless game, that one kind of felt like they needed a save, needed a little bit more there. The Kolyachonik goal, like 6 layers of screens there. I know it sneaks in the short side. It doesn't look great, but I have trouble dumping on the goaltender there. Coyotes are trying to take his eyes away. Like, I thought they did a pretty good job. And certainly, like, nothing he could do on the Dylan Guenther goal. That was the Quinn Hughes turnover. Cooley makes a nice play and sets up Guenther, who doesn't miss. And then, you know, what's Sylov supposed to do on the Cooley goal? What a pass from Guenther through Ian Cole. Like, just threaded the needle. And Cooley there on the doorstep to bang it home. So really, when I look at the 4 goals, I know it's on 18 shots, and so the save percentage, that doesn't look so tidy. But really, of the four goals, I kind of thought the first one, maybe rebound comes out to the point and a fairly long shot that somehow sneaks through.
Yeah, the last couple of games, it's the first one. It was the first one against Vegas. It's the first one here against Arizona. Look, I think the story's been great. You know, he's a guy that came up and is playing well for Abbotsford, but it's time to get your number one goalie back into the lineup and playing some games. It is before you head into meaningful games. I think Rick talked, if I'm not mistaken, Jeff, said that they might carry three in the playoffs, but I think this might be the last we see of Artur Silovs. The story's been good. You know, he came in and did his job, right? He did exactly what he was asked of and played well in some games. But you look at the last couple and there's been instances where, you know, you're a team that's not fighting for a playoff spot, but, you know, you're fighting to win that top spot in division. You might need a save from your goaltender and the Canucks didn't get that.
Yeah. And just to clarify, Artur Silovs is up on an emergency recall. So the minute that Thatcher Demko is activated, Silovs has to go back to Abbotsford on paper at the very least. The Canucks could then use one of their remaining regular recalls after the trade deadline to bring Silovs back. Like, he wouldn't leave Vancouver, but it's a paper transaction. They have to decide if that's what they want to do. Do they want three goaltenders? If Demko is back, can Casey DeSmith just continue his role as the backup? And I think the other thing to keep in mind is Abbotsford's going to play some playoff hockey. Mm-hmm. Like, what's best for Artur Silovs, who I'm not sure there's a guarantee that he gets the net in Abbotsford, but at the same time, like, how crazy would that be? A guy that's just come up and played NHL games for you, he's going to be a backup if you send him back down to the A in their playoff games. So something tells me that the Canuck organization would probably value the opportunity for Silovs to play meaningful games, playoff games, even if it's at the AHL level. If they had to bring him back up for any reason, first of all, if they have to bring him back up, it probably means the reasons that we don't even want to contemplate at this point. But he's there in Abbotsford. So my hunch, and I don't know, this is just a hunch, that they're going to send Silovs back. I know Tocchet talked about carrying three, but I'm not sure that he was, I mean, the question was put to him. I don't know how much he's kind of thought all of this through.
Yeah.
And ultimately those decisions are made. There's cap issues as well if you're carrying extra bodies over these final three games. So we'll see how that all plays out. But, you know, they don't have to activate Thatcher Demko now until just before the game on Saturday. So we'll see if he's ready and good to go against the Oilers on Saturday night. That is next up for the Vancouver Canucks. 4-3, the Arizona Coyotes come to town, spoil the party. The arty party that he suffers his first loss. I know it's another point for him. He's 2-0-1 now, or 3-0-1 rather, on this season. But the OT loss for Artur Silovs and the Vancouver Canucks, who fall to 48-22-9 on the season, 105 points. This is Rinkwide Vancouver.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Welcome back to Rinkwide Vancouver. Jeff and Irv with you here. 4-3 Coyotes over the Vancouver Canucks. We'll get to the stat that stands out in our Rinkwide Vancouver. Three stars coming up momentarily, but we've been telling you this for a couple of weeks, and time is ticking here towards April 20th. Join us and the rest of the Canucks Army crew Saturday, April 20th. The Hollywood Theater in Kitsilano, special tribute to our late friend Jason Botchard. It's all presented by Fountain Tire. It's being called Bro, Do Your Playoffs. It's a media event celebrating the life and legacy of Botch. It's going to feature shared memories, special guests, an exclusive musical performance from the matinee, and the celebration of Vancouver's return to the playoffs. And right now at Fountain Tire, being on the road together means getting a great deal on tires. Save up to 25% off select tires, including Goodyear, until April 20th. Book your appointment at fountaintire.com. This event's in support of the BC Mental Health Foundation. Tickets are only $10, so join us April 20th. Memorable experience. Every ticket purchased is going to contribute to making a positive impact on the community. Get your tickets at nationgear.ca. That's nationgear.ca, and we want to see you out there at the Hollywood on April the 20th. For the Vancouver Canucks, again, slow start. Kind of spun their wheels. Speaking of Fountain Tire, they were spinning their tires there for much of the second period. How much stock do you put in that, or if I mentioned it right off the top, that, like, I do think there's some value in the reinforcement of the notion that when you're down, you've got this comeback ability in your back pocket. Like, I'm kind of tired of them being in the position where they have to chip away and keep coming back in these games, but they did it against Vegas. They did it to a degree here against Arizona to at least force overtime. You know, this close to the playoffs, I guess if we're sort of grasping at straws and silver linings, you know, it is something that they can refer to. They're going to trail in the playoffs. Like, yeah, you know, they're not going to run the table and go coast to coast, wire to wire. So when they're down in games, at least they have that knowledge fresh in their mind that if they up the urgency level, some good things can happen.
I get it. And I know what you're saying, but against a team like the Vegas Golden Knights, they were able to do that. And you know, that might be their first round opponent, the Nashville Predators, you know, that might be your first round opponent there as well. If you're trailing in hockey games against those teams, it's a little bit different, a little bit more difficult. We saw them do it against Vegas, obviously. Vegas playing with their backup. I know what Aiden Hill got lit up against the Oilers, though. They're better teams. So if you're the Vancouver Canucks, like, you don't want to be trailing. You want to have that urgency, like we talked about at the top of the show. You need to come into games ready to play. They weren't ready to play against the Arizona Coyotes. It was evident. And I think if you asked some of the players in the room, you know, that's what they would pinpoint. Yeah, it might have been the Arizona Coyotes, and, you know, everyone can look past it on a Wednesday night late start to the game as well. But you have to be ready to play every single game and can't be the comeback kids every single night.
No, start time's the same for both. Yeah. And Arizona had played the night before, and it might be early starts. They may, you know, TV dictates, they could get one of those early starts. And we know that early starts haven't been terribly kind to the Vancouver. They haven't. They have not played great hockey in afternoon games, home or away. You can go back to the Easter Sunday game against Anaheim. But look, the schedule is what it is. It's the same for both teams, and they have to be ready and show that sense of urgency. And that does bring us to the stat that stands out, and that is those four shots in the second period. Once Arizona opens the scoring, they know that they're going to need at least one to get it to overtime and two to win it outright. You know, it took them a while. They finally get a goal with 90 seconds remaining in the second period. I wonder, you know, the second period also included a power play that didn't generate a single shot on goal. So, you know, against Vegas the other night, it looked like the power play had taken huge strides. They had been scoring with some degree of regularity on the power play in the last week or so. But boy, this one, they get the power play goal from Petey late in the hockey game that ties it. But up until that point, power play looked atrocious. So to me, that is definitely a stat that stands out at this stage of the season against an opponent that was there for the taking. Four shots on goal is the stat that stands out. It's a presentation of Fountain Tire. And as we head further into spring, ask the Fountain Tire experts about their seasonal car care package to keep your vehicle in top shape. Find your nearest service dealer at fountaintire.com. All right, let's take a look at the three stars of this hockey game. I don't think there was much doubt about star number one.
Nope.
The three stars in the building is selected by the telecast, Dylan Guenther, Quinn Hughes, and Logan Cooley. We've got those same three, but in a slightly different order. You're the overtime winner.
Like, yeah.
And a lot of times,
you're the first star.
Right. But on this night, Dylan Guenther with a goal and three assists. He was in on all four of the Arizona scoring plays and sets up the winner for Cooley at 3:51 of OT. So Dylan Guenther is the first star. Logan Cooley, who's 19 years of age.
19, 21, those
Guenther
guys?
Guenther just turned 21. Yeah. There's some good young talent on this Arizona hockey club that likely headed to Utah. If ownership, new ownership, is willing to invest and support and surround, you know, it's something that hasn't happened, obviously, down in the desert.
Yeah.
You wonder, like, are there some legitimate building blocks there? I would say, yeah. I mean, from what you see, it looks like they've got some pretty nice pieces. And there's Quinn Hughes as the third star, three assists, as we said, up to 91 points on the season. Yeah, there was the gaffe that led to a goal, but we're not going to hold that against Quinn. Another stellar offensive night. And look, he started into this night. Cale Makar was just a single point back. Like, yeah, that derby isn't done. And we know and we've seen, like, there are some voters out there that seem to think that Quinn Hughes has to finish ahead of Cale Makar in the points race to get their vote. And so Cale Makar is Cale Makar, and the Avalanche score a bunch of goals. And, you know, if he's out there with Nathan MacKinnon, he's going to get some points along the way. So I'm sure Quinn, he's a smart guy. He's a hockey junkie. I'm absolutely certain that he knows where he stands in that race. You know, you've come this far. And that's kind of how I feel about the Canucks. And even Rick Tocchet said this yesterday, like, we've come this far. Let's finish this off and win the division. You're Quinn Hughes. Opportunities like this may not present themselves every season, but you have a chance to finish ahead of your peers and be the highest scoring defenseman in the National Hockey League. It's right there for him. So a big step in that direction. I know it's about the wins, and I'm sure he would downplay all of this. You also know that he's this close to the finish line now. So a little bit of breathing room for Quinn Hughes, the third star in this hockey game. The three stars are a presentation of Greta Bar, and it's time for another game day hosted by Canucks Army and Sakaris and Price at Greta Bar YVR. Join the crew at our favorite game day watch party spot, Greta Bar YVR, Thursday, April 18th, the season finale, the Canucks in Winnipeg to take on the Jets. Doors are going to open at 4 o'clock. Tickets are $10, good food, good prizes, and a guaranteed good time. Get your tickets at nationgear.ca before they sell out.
I got no problem with the three stars. Quinn Hughes obviously doing things at a crazy elite level. My favorite part about the voting for all of these trophies and the end of season awards and things like that is, yes, we know who votes for which award, but it's, you have to release your ballot now. Like, there are going to be people out there, and Canucks fans should not be surprised at all of this, that Quinn Hughes is going to get a third place vote. Quinn Hughes might not even be on some of these voters' ballots. It's just the way that different people see the game. I'm pretty sure, I think it was ESPN did an article, and it was 10 GMs were polled, and they didn't have Quinn. One of them didn't have Quinn Hughes as a top 10 defenseman in the league. So there is that narrative around this team and around that player. Obviously, you and I don't agree with that. I think Quinn Hughes should win the Norris, no problem at all. But there definitely is a healthy debate, and I don't think it's going to be a lock, as a lot of people might seem to think. But Jeff, I got a stat for you as well, and it's more of a stat and a question. Canucks have lost 5 of 8. Mm. We've talked about this when we've done shows before. Red flags, we raise them. Don't hit the panic button. You know, don't do any of that. They're going to the playoffs. We do know it. But maybe a little bit concerning because they're trending in the wrong direction as you head into the postseason.
Yeah, and I wanted to believe that that statement win over Vegas, yeah, the way they got it, was going to sort of propel them back in the right direction to build to the playoffs here over the final week of the regular season. And there's still 3 games to go, and they could run the table and have 3 convincing wins and all that kind of stuff. The Doubters got a Petey goal late that tied. You want a big goal from Elias Pettersson? You got one. It's been a while. It had been 9 games since he had scored. He had 2 against Buffalo. His last one was an empty netter. So this was a big goal. And I saw somebody saying it looked kind of like Marcus Naslund. Like, you know, not the big shot, the wrist shot. But again, this was a kind of quiet night for him, and he seemed reluctant to shoot the puck for whatever reason. You know, for me, the days of the 8-1 win on opening night and 10-1 in San Jose and, you know, those kind of games, they were fun in the first half. You're not going to see those. But you don't need them either. Like, a 3-2 win in the playoffs is as good as a 5-1 win. But is this team that seemed to win a bunch of games 5-1 early in the season, is it capable of winning 5-1 right now? It doesn't feel like it. Like, it feels like they've kind of fallen into this trap of believing that every game is going to be this low-scoring grind. And that scares me a little bit because, like, a team like Seattle last night, they jumped all over Arizona. We're up 2-0 in the first 5 minutes. Like, where's that from the Vancouver Canucks? We haven't really seen that since they beat Winnipeg 5-0 on the night that Thatcher Demko got injured, but that was more than a month ago now. And so I am still waiting to see a convincing victory from the Vancouver Canucks. It feels like it's been far too long since we've seen them absolutely kind of run the show of an opponent. And so there are red flags. There are. Power play hasn't been great. I mean, it was the other night, but where was that urgency? The penalty kill was good tonight, but I don't know that it's out of the woods against better opponents. Again, you still want your best players to rise up and take over hockey games. Quinn Hughes does it on a lot of nights. You know, JT's been pretty consistent all season long. You don't get to 100 points if you don't do that. But, you know, there are some, like, Nils Höglander's gone quiet for me right now.
Yep.
And he represents that next layer of scoring for the Vancouver Canucks. And you know, if the top guys aren't getting it done, then is there enough depth? Because we know that lower in the lineup, there are still all sorts of questions. You know, Teddy Bluger with the breakaway there, and he got his goal for the month the other night in Los Angeles, but he had another opportunity to, you know, score shorthanded, and it didn't happen for him. Pia Suter just in the ultimate slump of slumps now, and, you know, the list is pretty long, and we talked about Pod Colson coming out of the lineup because there hasn't been a bottom line for him. So
Ilya Mikheyev,
and on it goes. So, yeah, I mean, there's absolutely some issues around this hockey club. You know, am I going to read too much into this result against Arizona when they line up for game one of the playoffs? No. Yeah. Like, you know, let's find out who their opponent is. Let's see how it all shakes up. And, you know, for me, it's so much about matchups. And obviously, they're drawing a good opponent. I mean, that much we know. So people can still have their wish list of who they think the Canucks match up best against. But, you know, whether it's the Kings, whether it's Vegas, whether it's Nashville, all three of those teams are going to pose a stiff problem for the Vancouver Canucks. So I want to continue on with a little bit of listener feedback. I mean, that's what we're here for. We've been asking you for feedback throughout the night. We want to get to some. Dan on YouTube says, would the Canucks rather have Dylan Gunther in the lineup or Connor Garland presently? Look, Garland's been a terrific story. Love the engine. I can't wait to see him play some playoff hockey.
Yeah.
But
taking the 21-year-old.
But yeah. Like, he was a top 10 pick for a reason.
Yeah.
Like, nobody should be surprised. This guy scored goals at a crazy rate in the Western Hockey League. That's why he got drafted where he was. And, you know, it was a Canuck draft pick at one point, but they made the trade. We're not going to relitigate the trade now. But Connor Garland has turned into a very useful play-driving piece for the Vancouver Canucks. And maybe it's an unfair comparison, but when where they were drafted, Gunther was 9th overall, Pod Colson was 10th overall 2 years before that. And here's Gunther scoring a bunch in the National Hockey League, and Vasily Pod Colson can't get into the lineup on a night like this one. So, you know, that's where I'm not expecting Pod Colson to be a 40-goal scorer,
no.
But you're drafted 10th overall because you have the skills, you've got the potential, the scouts see things in your game that are going to translate to the National Hockey League, and parts of his game have, but obviously the scoring hasn't been there. Another question on Twitter, this one coming from D. Handle. They need to practice getting shots on net. So much possession with so little in the way of shots on goal. But that's kind of been their MO all season. They don't waste a lot of shots. You know, JT Miller talked about this at one point that, you know, because they took so many leads to third periods, like if you go back over the course of the season, they've been outshot badly in thirds. A lot of that score effects because they had leads. It's the other team. And as Miller said, like when you're trailing in the third period, you got to get shots every time down the ice. If you have the lead in the third period, you don't have to shoot. You don't have to build. I mean, it'd be great if you could extend your lead, but ultimately it's the other team that has to catch up. And so, you know, I think there are some reasons there, but yeah, I mean, it kind of goes back to this idea that, you know, they had this crazy shooting percentage early on, the PDO, the bounces, everything else, you know, that has sort of caught up with them. And certainly guys lower in the lineup aren't getting the bounces that maybe they did. Like, it is hard to reconcile the fact that, you know, Pia Suter and Sam Lafferty and Ilya Mikheyev are all in double digits. Like, it feels like none of those guys have scored for the Canucks all season long, but they're all double-digit goal scorers. A lot of it came playing with Elias Pettersson in the first half of the season. They all took turns elevated in the lineup. But right now, especially once they get to the playoffs, man, it would be nice to see the Canucks getting a little bit more. I mean, you need your top guys going, but you also, the good teams are going to find ways to get some offense out of the bottom six.
Yeah, the PDO bender sobered up a little bit for sure. I think that it's creating havoc in front too. I mean, you can shoot the puck all you want. You got to get it through and you got to get it on net. And you can only practice that so much with the way teams take away players. Elias Pettersson is basically non-existent. I know on the power play, but he scored against Arizona, but basically non-existent on the power play at times. And that's because that's the book on teams. You know, you shut off one guy and you make another guy score. Connor Garland with that fake one-timer on that power play. Teams are going to give him that shot all day long. It's probably not going to get through the net. It's going to get blocked. It's not a heavy shot. We all know that. So it's doing other things that you can do. It's crashing and banging. It's getting Dakota Joshua in front of the net. It's Quinn Hughes coming down from the half wall and beating players like he does every single night and having guys to be in front. So it's just about getting creative, doing different things. And, you know, obviously the coaching staff is going to have a lot of say in how they operate and the way they go about that. But they're just not getting the bounces, but they're also not throwing as many pucks on net.
12 shot attempts for Quinn Hughes. Three on goal, six missed the target entirely, three were blocked. I know it's a Canucks postgame pod, so I don't want to go too deep on the Arizona side of things, but this is pretty remarkable for a team that had played the night before. Now Seattle to Vancouver travels, not onerous in any way. Nick Schmaltz plays 25-38 in this hockey game. Clayton Keller played 26-05. And Alex Kerfoot, West Vancouver's Alex Kerfoot, 25-05, his career high in ice time by 3 minutes. Like, this guy never sees that much ice time, obviously, nowhere close to it. And tonight, Andre Tournier leans on those guys. Now, there were a lot of special teams time, and Kerfoot's out there on power play and shorthanded as well. But whatever the case, they got his numbers jacked way up there. So, I mean, credit to the Coyotes, who didn't go away, didn't go quietly on the second of back-to-backs when they really have no reason to play and compete hard. So credit to them for sticking with it, and ultimately buoyed by the Connor Ingram save in overtime on the penalty shot. They go back down the ice and get the job done.
Well, I mean, you look at Alex Kerfoot on all those Maple Leaf teams, right? He doesn't get those type of opportunities to play that high up in the lineup. But yeah, I mean, you got to give them some credit. I mean, they could have mailed it in. The news drops that they're leaving. Their phones are going off probably, you know, halfway through their midday naps and things like that. And they come to the rink, and it was a pretty professional performance from them, right? They were ready to play. You know, they're a National Hockey League team. I know they play in a college barn, but you know, things are changing for that team, and you got to give them some credit as they came into Vancouver and were able to beat one of the best teams in the league.
Frustrating result, obviously, for the Vancouver Canucks. As we said, all points are good points. The Canucks continue to control their fate. They can win the division if they win out, but in order to do that, it means a win on Saturday in Edmonton against the Oilers. If it doesn't go their way, the Edmonton Oilers can be in a tie with the Vancouver Canucks at the end of the night on Saturday, provided they beat the Coyotes on Friday. So I would imagine that, you know, Stuart Skinner will sit and watch on Friday. They'll keep him ready. Calvin Pickard probably gets the start against the Coyotes on Friday, and then you get Stuart Skinner. Assume that Thatcher Demko is going to be ready, but we'll probably get a better read on that. Canucks are practicing on Thursday, and then I think on Friday before they fly to Edmonton. All right, we mentioned this the other night, and we're going to continue to do this because I used to do it in radio. I always thought it was fun. And we're going to try and carry it over here to the streaming version of Rinkwide. We call it Rinkwide Worldwide. And what we're asking is, where in the world are you checking us out, and where do you follow the Vancouver Canucks? And we want you to drop us a line at our social channels, and you can see them on the screen. Where are you, and what time is puck drop for a game like this one? It was 7:30 local, which is a little strange and a little late for TV purposes, but what was the start time, wherever it is that you are watching the Canucks and consuming Rinkwide? And we're going to build out this map as we go. And after one night and putting out the call, you all responded, and you can see Cabo San Lucas in Mexico. Somebody checking us out down in Chile.
Cabo.
Yeah, we've got Swedes. We've got, and I remember this as well from my radio days. There is a strong Canucks fan presence down under in Australia and New Zealand. And you can see on the map, Perth, Australia is represented. Christchurch, New Zealand, all through Asia, Taiwan, Saigon, Beijing as well. We want to add to this map and continue to put pins as we go. So again, I'll say it just so people, if you're checking us out for the first time here, welcome. I don't want to hear like from Joe and Burnaby. I get it. You're not going to make the map, but we want to see the reach. My sort of thumb rule is a 3-hour drive from Rogers Arena. That's kind of the baseline. So Kelowna, Seattle, you would make the grade here. No. But if you're drawing a circle, we want to see how far afield, obviously, the reach is of the Canuck brand, Canuck Nation, quite as well. So
I think I saw someone from Antarctica or from
North Pole, Alaska.
Sorry.
Which is, but I looked at a map, North Pole, Alaska is a place, and it's basically suburban Fairbanks.
And then tonight, Trevor Evans, just going to give him a quick shout out, watching from the Clark Air Base in the Philippines.
Love it.
So, that was great. Yeah,
saw somebody from Austria. Again, we can't get all of them, but we'll continue to build up the map here and just have some fun here as we go through these final three games. And obviously, every night on the playoffs, we'll continue to put out the call. So hit us up on social, wherever it is around the world. Man, we appreciate you checking us out here. We're having fun with this. This one was maybe not a fun night of hockey, but hopefully a little bit of fun post-game with us here on Rinkwide. That is going to do it for this episode. Next up on Saturday, Farhan's going to be back in the chair.
Yep.
So we'll give you the night off. You can run wild on a big Saturday night, but I'm sure you'll be checking out the Canucks and the Oilers. And then the home finale, awards night when the Calgary Flames are in next Tuesday. And then it's on to the season finale in Winnipeg on April 18th. So the end is near when it comes to the regular season. And in years gone by, it would be the end. But, of course, there will be playoff hockey here in Vancouver this year. And so we'll see as the playoff picture starts to work its way into focus over the final week of the regular season. For Irfan Ghaffar, for all the guys working behind the scenes, Mike and Jacob, Grady helping out as well. My name is Jeff Patterson. Again, we really appreciate your support trying to build something special here for Canuck fans. And we're off to a great start, and you're a huge part of that. So thank you to everyone. And thank you as well to the Applewood Auto Group, our presenting sponsors of Rinkwide Vancouver.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinis.
I'm Kayla Itzinis, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.